anyway, God is good, and my husband's away, and of course, you know, he wants to be here, but he couldn't be here today, so I'm here in his place. I'm not him, I'm me, but I'm in his place today. Amen. Praise the Lord. He asked me to share a word, so that's what I'm going to attempt to do today. Amen. And God, it's funny because Wednesday night we had our Bible study and I was going to teach something and God changed it on me. He changed my words today, thank God. But he changed my title.
Right.
I was sitting back there. He said, no, that's not what you call it. And I said, oh, okay. So he came. I said, okay, I can get with that. Change my word up.
Right.
He just switched things on me on Wednesday night, but it's okay. God is still good. Anyways, the title is Even As the Lord Loves. That's the title. And we don't talk about this much in the church. I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Love and forgiveness.
Wow.
And it's one of the things that we hardly talk about in the church, forgiveness. And it's funny because that's what the basis of our salvation is about. It's about forgiveness. You know, that Jesus went to the cross and died and he forgave us of our sins. And he did that because he loved us. And it's funny that we don't often talk about forgiveness, but that's what I believe God wants to share with us today. And what we're going to look at is a love story on forgiveness. And it's the story of Hosea and Gomer. I don't know if you give your time to find this book in the Bible because we hardly turn there.
Right.
But we're going to turn to a couple of places. But our main scripture is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the love chapter. You can't leave that out. And then also Hosea. And we're going to look at chapters 1 through 3. But just glance through them, basically. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's do that. But let's pray first.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name again, God. We thank you, God, because you are a good God. You are a wonderful God. You are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. And we just love you today, oh God. We thank you, oh God, just for this opportunity, oh God. Oh, Father God, just to come before you once again, oh God. Father, I just pray, oh God, your anointing right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let it be all about you today, oh God, and none of me, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for raising me up, oh God, and healing my body, oh God. And now I just present myself, oh God, as a living sacrifice, oh God, ready and desiring just to do your will and to speak your words, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father God, help me to share what's on your heart to your people, oh God, that they may be edified, oh God, that they may be encouraged, that they may be strengthened, oh God. And I just bless you, and I thank you, oh God, for the opportunity to do so. As I turn it over to you, God,
yes,
in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to first look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse number 4, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. And I'm going to stop right there. Love never fails. Amen. And now I want to read from Hosea. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation of Hosea. And it says, the Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, name the child Jezreel, for I'm about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the Jezreel Valley. Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, not love, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies or horses and charioteers, but by my power as the Lord their God. After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ami, not my people, for Israel is not my people, and I am not their God. Yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at that place where they were told, you are not my people, it will be said, you are children of the living God. Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return from exile together. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in his land. Amen.
Amen.
That's Hosea chapter 1. And here we have God speaking to Hosea. And it's many times in the Bible you see that the God refers to Israel as his wife. You know, you'll see that many places, especially in the Old Testament. God refers to Israel, his wife. He viewed her worship of other gods as spiritual adultery, and this is what he was telling Hosea. But he was also comparing Gomer to Israel. So Israel's the wife, and Gomer was the wife of Hosea. But God said from the very beginning, when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he was mad because the children of Israel kept putting these other gods before him. So what they were doing in essence was committing spiritual adultery, you know, and God wasn't too pleased with that. So he wanted to correct them. And he first went to, if you read some study notes, they'll tell you, he first went to Amos, which was another prophet, and he told Amos to tell the people what they were doing. But and Amos did declare the word of the Lord, but the people still wouldn't listen. They just would not listen. Oh, how that sounds like that. But they just wouldn't listen. So then God went to Hosea, and he told Hosea to tell the people, you know, that they were committing this adultery. But how he did it with Hosea, he did a spiritual comparison, which is how God often spoke to his prophets. You know, he usually, like even if you think of Ezekiel, how he told Ezekiel to do certain things so that what he wanted to say to the people would be revealed through Ezekiel. But I think that God speaks to his prophets that way so that when they declare his word, they will be able to tell it from a point of realness. You know, because sometimes you can't share unless, or people won't receive what you're saying unless you actually went through it. So I think that God was attempting to connect in that way so that when Hosea spoke to the people, Hosea was speaking out of some kind of, you know, authority. This happened to me, you know, and I believe that people began to listen because at the end of the chapter, God forgave them, you know, even though he said he wouldn't. So, but that's one thing that we have to learn automatically, you know, pick up quickly is that lessons are always spiritual and natural. You know, God will speak spiritually, but he'll also show you naturally. And it's funny because that's what Jesus did with his parables, you know, modern-day parables, always telling, you know, comparing real-life situations to something spiritual. And so whenever we, even with what Patricia shared about the reflection, it's always spiritually and naturally connected. So we have to just keep that in mind when we see things, because God is always speaking. So anyway, so God tells Hosea to go and pick this woman. In Hosea chapter 1, he tells her to go pick this woman. She's a harlot. Pick this woman out. And then he tells her to marry her. Then he tells him, and you're going to have kids. And you're going to name them Jezreel. And that's the place where God was going to strip Israel of their military power. That was one of the kids. Lo Ruhamah, because God himself said, at this point, you will no longer love Israel or forgive them. And Lo Ami, where God says, he's done with them. They are not my people, and I am not their God. Each name God gave Hosea took on a different meaning. And it's funny because we see how real God is because, and in some way, he's showing himself like us because he clearly says, I'm not going to love them or forgive them. You know? And that's, it's funny because we know God to be a loving and a caring God. We know he loves us. We know he cares for us. But here he clearly says, he tells Hosea to name his children, I'm not going to love them or forgive them. They are not my people, and I am not their God. So you can almost sense the rage or the anger that God was feeling and the unforgiveness that might have come, you know. But God is God, so we can't really compare ourselves in that sense because God knows how far he can go with his unforgiveness. He doesn't hold grudges like we do. We're good at doing that. Amen. Amen. But later on in the chapter, we see that God restores them. So God doesn't. God forgives them. God loved them, and God forgave them. So, Hosea chapter 2. He says, say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. And that's where God, this is the first half where God was sharing that He wanted the people to know this was his, what he was going to do with them. He was going to judge them. And then he was telling Hosea that they're going to be punished. And then later on in the chapter, he tells them how they're going to be restored. But God is telling Hosea how he's going to strip them of the things that he gave them. Because he gave Israel, the children of Israel, the tribe of Israel, plenty of things, you know, land and everything. And he was saying that this time I'm going to strip them from it because of how they treated me, because of how they acted like they did not know me. They did not know where they got these things from. So the first half of chapter 2, God declares what he's going to do, the judgment he would bring upon Israel. He speaks of what he did for Israel and how they continually hurt him, how they got things, shared them with their lovers, and denied that he gave it to them, refusing to give him the glory. And that sounds like us. Mm. When I was reading that, I was like, oh my God. Because that sounds like us. Because we get things from God. God blesses us with things, and then we turn around and we use them in the world. You know, even in the voice, just to get the voice. So many singers have grown up in the church. God developed that gift in them. And what they do? Go into the world. And people do need to go into the world. We do need to go into the world. And if Jesus has called you to go into the world, then that's what you do. But you can go in the world, sing the songs, some songs, not all of them, but some of them are too early. You can sing some songs, but there's still a way that you live your life to show that you live in for Christ. And there are some people who are out in the world singing songs, but they don't speak as the world speaks. They just share that gift. But there are many others who have grown up in the church, and they turn around, and they use their gift for the world. And this is what the children of Israel were doing. God gave them things, and they were using their gifts for the world.
Right.
And God was really upset about this. Anyway, so God has reasons to be angry, not to forgive them, as sometimes we do, but he yet did. Because starting at verse 14 in chapter 2, this is where he restores them. He says, Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. He's going to love her back. This is what he's telling Hosea. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baal, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword in the battle of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass, in that day I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. So we see this switch in God, that before he was saying they ain't my people, that means they ain't after him. They are not my people, and I am not their God. And here he's saying that they are my people, and they shall say, he is my God. So God restores them. So, in all this, God compares Israel to Hosea. And Hosea was just like this, because Hosea was a harlot. And what she did was she used what, not Hosea, Gomer was a harlot. And what she did was she used the things that her husband gave her. He was kind of rich in that time. And what he did was he gave her jewelry, he gave her clothes, he gave her the lotions, I won't say lotion, lack of a better word from the Bible, but he gave her those oils and things like that to make her beautiful and to purify her. And she turns around and uses all these things to get men. So that's what she did, and this is what Israel did, use the things that God gave them. So God was, you know, showing Hosea the comparison. So then, in chapter 3, God tells Hosea to go and get Gomer back. This is the way God loves. Because people can do wrong to us, and then the way that God loves says, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God was telling Hosea to do, forgive her. go and get her back. So, read Hosea chapter 3. And I'm going to read that from the Amplified Version. And it says, "Then said the Lord to me, go again, love the same woman Gomer, who is beloved of a paramour and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins used in the sacrificial feasts in idol worship. So I bought her for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half a barley, the price of a slave. And I said to her, you shall be betrothed to me for many days." Isn't that the same word that God used?
Mm-hmm.
"And I said to her, you shall be betrothed to me for many days. Mm-hmm. You shall not play the harlot, and you shall not belong to another man. So will I also be to you until you have proved your loyalty to me and our marital relations with you soon. For the children of Israel shall dwell in sick deprived many days without king or prince, without sacrifice for idolatrous Thelah, and without ephod, a garment worn by priests in seeking divine counsel, or teraphim, household gods. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, inquiring of and requiring him, and from the line of David, their king of kings, and they shall come in anxious fear to the Lord and to his goodness and his good things in the latter days." Amen. So Hosea is restoring Gomer. He's telling her, I'm forgiving you. I'm bringing you back. I'm going to love on you. But you're going to have to show yourself, because sometimes we can forgive people and we can expect them to show themselves worthy, you know, of our forgiveness. But it still starts from us. We still have to make that decision to say, I'm going to forgive them. If we love them, then we're going to have to forgive them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible talks about, you know, he bought her for the price of less than the price of a slave, because he bought her for 15 shekels, and the price of a slave was 30 shekels. And this was sending a message to Gomer how much she was worth. She really wasn't worth much, you know, but Hosea was saying, I love you anyway, and I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to take you back. I'm going to forgive you. And that's what he did. And that's what love does. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love bears all. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is always hopeful. And love does not count how many times wrong is done. And Gomer did this 3 times, right? But that didn't matter to Hosea. And then I could hear the disciples saying, Jesus, how many times must I forgive, right? 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. So he was like, don't even try to put a number on it. No matter how many times somebody does something to you, you have to forgive them. We have to forgive. Amen. God Amen. Requires it of us.
Amen.
A lot of times we hear people say, but you don't know. You don't know. You don't know how many times they did this to me. This is the last straw. I'm not taking this nonsense anymore. You know, we hear it because we say it.
Right.
We hear it because we say it.
Right.
And we say, and then we hear this worldly wisdom that we sort of picked up. Oh, yeah, I forgive them, but I'm not forgetting.
Right.
And then we feel okay because we say, oh, I forgive them, but I'm not forgetting. That's worldly wisdom. That is not in the Bible, okay? Forgive and don't forget, that's not in the Bible. Because God says that He will remember our sins no more. He says that in 3 different places. I'm not going to look them up, but I'm going to give it to y'all so y'all have it. So y'all know if it's coming from the Word. Isaiah 43 and 25. Hebrews 8:12. It's actually 4 different places. Hebrews 10:17. And Jeremiah 31:34. That's even as God loves. That's even as God forgives.
Mm-hmm.
Remember their sin no more. So, you know, people are going to hurt us, but we must remember their sin no more. Forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on toes. Forget. Then in Psalm 103:12, let's look at that because I want to point that out too. I mean, first of all, just to marry her and then to have these things done to him and then still forgive her. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's how God loves. So we sin against him. As far as the east is from, and that's far. I can't stretch that far. But that's pretty far. As far as the east is from the west, that's how much he's removed our sins. And then in 1 John 1:9, you know, that says, God said, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive, us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's forgiving love, it forgets the sin and it moves on, just like God does, even as God does. God gives us a clean slate because he says, each day is filled with brand new mercy. Right? Each day. So every day that we wake up, God has forgotten our sins and he's given us a clean slate and he says, okay, this is a new day. You can write on it whatever you want. If you're going to mess up, then you'll mess up. And tomorrow will be a new day again. But God, this is what God does. Every day is filled with brand new mercy. And then I'm reminded of a scripture that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So we have to remember that too. You be merciful, and then you will receive mercy. But Hosea was there. He got his wife back. He wiped her slate clean, believing and hoping for nothing but the best for her. That's right. That's what love is.
Amen.
It believes the best for people.
Right.
It's hopeful, it endures, and it forgives, and it forgives. So in spite of how Hosea felt, he did just as God told him. And then I thought about some other prophets, you know. Because many times we see God speak in the Bible to his prophets and he tells them to do certain things. And most of the time, except for Jonah, Jonah was us. We declare people unworthy and we say, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But other than Jonah, everybody, whatever God asked them to do, they just simply did it. And we can just take that lesson, because we hear God speak to us, and God tells us to do things, but we would just take that lesson just to simply do what God tells us to do, then things will work out the way they're supposed to.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We're
yes.
so, we put our thoughts into it instead of the word or what God says
right.
into it. We try to reason things out, and then we say, no, can't do this, or we think it's too hard. We do all this stuff in our heads, and instead of doing all that, if we would just simply obey, maybe if God, things would work out the way that we want them to.
Yes.
Because they did for the prophets. So we just have to go to something that, you know, God pointed out to me as I was studying. And I just thought about, Ezekiel, who, when his wife died, and God said, and you are not supposed to cry. And he didn't. And I know that, oh my God, could you imagine how hard that might have been? I mean, his wife died, and God told him not to cry. But he wanted to set an example before the people of Israel to be strong. And that's what he did. And he used Ezekiel. Then I thought about Noah, who, you know, God told him to build it. The ark, and how foolish he must have appeared to people, you know, but he did it, you know, and he was saved, he and his family. So we just got to learn to do exactly what God says. So that's what Hosea did. He did exactly as God said, first marrying her, knowing who she was, what she did. And that's funny because that's one sign of forgiveness right there, just to be able to forgive the act of knowing what she did. You know, it's like, God's not going to marry this harlot. I mean, how many men would knowingly marry somebody that knows they were a harlot?
Right.
That's an act of forgiving right there. You know? some kind of love. Anyway, so he forgave her for being that way, and he did exactly what God told us to do, told him to do. But that's the same thing with us, because God, knowing who we are, you know, knowing that he asked us to do something, and knowing our next move, that we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But God still forgives us. It's an amazing thing to me, you know. Even when we say to God, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, we make all our promises, and God still knows, oh yes, you are. And he forgives us, you know. It's just an amazing thing that God would forgive us, love us that much to forgive us already. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So then Jose and Gomer had kids, and kids that were born out of holly tree, just like God said. And Gomer took the vow to be faithful to Hosea after they got married, and she wasn't. The last two children, as God called them in verse 6 and verse 9, and I just love the way he called these, because he names them these particular names, right? Lo, Ruhamah. Anyway, I don't want to say it wrong. I gotta look at it. But it's just funny to me. Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhamah. And they meant, there's a boy and a girl, and they meant, I will no longer love or forgive them, and they are not my people. So this is what God told him to name his children. And, you know, God gives us names. And but these names, I don't want these names.
right.
And it's funny because Hosea's name was actually means salvation, born of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a good name. He came to redeem, you know. But these names, I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, both of them were a result of Gomer committing adultery again. And that's what we do with God. We sin, God forgives us, takes us back. We fall right back into doing the very thing that God delivered us from. But Hosea must have loved her some type of way. And then we always say, we were feeling some type of way. Hosea was feeling some type of way for Gomer, because he went, he did what God said, he brought her back, and he loved on her. Now I want to go to Matthew chapter 5. It right, even though he did nothing wrong. And y'all heard me say this before, that we're supposed to go and get it right, even though we've done nothing wrong. And I just want to point it out in the Bible so you can see it for yourself, because it's in red letters. I didn't say this, Jesus said it. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and bear remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, so thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." So what God was basically saying here, and I said, you know, before, if you go, first of all, you should be angry. And then, if somebody's angry against you, and you know that you didn't do anything wrong, but you want to go and present God a sacrifice, God said, leave your sacrifice, because he still wants it. Right? So let's keep that in mind. He still wants our sacrifice. But leave your sacrifice and go to that person that thinks you did something to them, even though you know you did, and make it right. Get it right with that person. And this is what Hosea did, because he went to his wife, even though he didn't do it. He didn't have to go running back to her, but God told him to. So he did. And this is what God requires of us, because that's what it takes to forgive, to and I said before, to accept an apology that was never forgiven. Mm-hmm. You know? And this is what Hosea did. And this is what God requires of us, to go and get it right. So what kind of love is that? Hosea loved Gomer and he forgave her. And she must have seen something this time, because the Bible speaks no more of them. After Hosea chapter 3, it just goes on to God, how God delivered his people and restored them and gave them back everything they had. So, but it speaks no more of his wife or their relationship. But that's what he did. He must have loved her, and she must have seen something. That when he went back to get her, knowing that, and she knew that she was the one that was wrong, but here my husband comes running back. You know how that feels? I didn't do anything wrong, but here my husband comes running back to me trying to get me back because he loves me so much. It must have hit her in a way that said, I have to love him back. And it must have hit her in a way that made her change. So even if you don't do it for yourself, do it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do it for somebody else. Because if they have something against you and you go to them and you say, I'm sorry, yeah. You say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I want you back, I love you too much for this to go on, this, you know, unrest between us or whatever, they may see something in you. They may see the God in you.
Amen.
And it may draw them back, you know, to where they should be, right to their rightful place, you know, even in right standing with God, it can draw you back, you know. So this is what Hosea did, and I believe that it changed her. It forced a change in her. And then I was reminded of Mary Magdalene, you know, and how much, you know, Jesus forgave her, and she must have seen something, you know, how Jesus looked at her. She seen love, you know, in Jesus forgiving her. And it made her, you know, do a U-turn for what she was doing. And it's funny how both these women are apology. But it just turned her around. And it's a funny thing that I believe it's easier for people to forgive when they know they've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, you know how much you did. I know how much I did. You know, I know I was a sinner. Okay, but I know how much God forgave me. So it's on me to forgive.
Right.
It's on me.
Yes.
Because I don't want, you know, God forgiving me to be in vain. No, right. Lord, you forgave me. I need to forgive somebody else, in spite of what they did. Yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it does. I'm not gonna lie. It does. It hurts. But God requires it of us, and we need to do it. Amen. But I believe that it's the love, because the Bible says, and I said it before, love covers a multitude of sins. And
so
when people see that love, it changes them.
Right.
It has to. Genuine love changes people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have some on-the-surface stuff, and it's not going to do nothing. But genuine love changes people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see that, you know, it changes them. They'll see, and they'll turn around. Okay. And there are others in the Bible who loved and forgave. And I thought about Joseph, the story of Joseph. We can turn to Genesis 45. And we actually don't have to turn it, but let's turn it anyway. Genesis 45. And we know the story of Joseph.
We know all the things that his brother said to him. And it's a funny thing because most of the time the people that hurt you or can hurt you are the ones that are closest to you. Because a stranger can do something to you that a sibling did, and it won't even affect you. It'll go right over your head. But it's because you love, you put yourself out there. Your heart is on the line. So when somebody that you love does something, it hurts, you know. So with Joseph, we know all the things that Joseph was in prison, and he was thrown into the ditch. You know, he was left for dead. And Genesis 45, this is when Joseph reveals his identity. This is Joseph forgiving his brothers. Genesis 45. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So here is Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. And you could feel their fear, but you can also feel Joseph's love. Because he's telling them, you know, first of all, they're afraid because they know what they did. And here they are standing before Joseph, who is this mighty man now. And Joseph could kill them. Really, he could kill them. And they don't see him doing that. What they see is him forgiving them and explaining that this wasn't you, this was God. You know, y'all meant it for my bad, but God turned this thing around and he made it for my good. You know, I was sent here to deliver you. So we see this. And then in verses 14 and 15, it says, "And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him." So this is a story of forgiveness, love, reconciliation, you know, restoration. You know, the brothers thought they were going to be killed. No. Joseph showed them, "No, it's okay. I love you. I forgive you." And this is how God wants us to love. Now, like I said, people can't make you cry. Joseph cried because those were his brothers. Mm-hmm. Then I thought about the father of the prodigal son. And that's in Luke chapter 15. You can read that later if you want. But it's verses 11 through 32. And, you know, the prodigal son, he ran away, spent up all the money he had, you know. His father, when his father saw him from far away, he went running to him, grabbing him, hugging him, kissing him, restoring him, showing him that, okay, you did all this, but that's okay. I still love you. I forgive you. And we know he forgave him because he turned around and he gave him the best of everything he had anyway. You know, so even though he spent everything he had, his father restored him and gave him even the more. And then, you know, I just thought about the brother. He needs to work on some forgiveness. The older brother of the prodigal son, because he was like, "Why are you doing all this for him?" And that's how we are too sometimes, because we, you know, people did something wrong, and then it'd be us or it'd be somebody in our crowd that says, "Why are you forgiving them?" You right. know what they did. They always got to point it out,
right.
you know,
right.
instead of just hopping on board and just forgiving.
Right.
But there's always going to be another voice out there somewhere to tell you, you shouldn't, but don't listen to that mm-hmm. voice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then Peter denying Jesus is a story of love and forgiveness. Because, you know, for Peter to deny that he walked with Jesus, that he knew Jesus, you know, and then when Jesus looked at him, he wept bitterly because he knew, I know this man. Why am I saying that I don't? But yet, Jesus forgave him because then Jesus restores him the same way Peter denied him. And that third time, you know, Jesus brought it full circle, so that must have hit Peter like a rock, you know, like, wow, he forgave me, he loves me, you know. And Jesus just kept saying, feed my sheep, I love you, I forgive you, it's okay, Peter. But that's how we ought to be as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then the ultimate example of love and forgiveness. And I don't know why this hit me so hard, but it just did. But when Jesus was sitting at the table with his disciples, and they were eating, and I just want you to think about this for a minute, because just imagine for one moment being the one that Jesus points out as the betrayer. Imagine how that feels. That Jesus points you out. You're the one that's going to betray him. And then he says, and whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. That is the ultimate example of love and forgiveness right there. Because Jesus knew exactly what Judas was going to do. And instead of stopping him from doing it, he let him do it. And then he decides to go on the cross and die because of those sins.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus does. He knows exactly what we're going to do. And he lets us do it. And then he forgives us of it. That's forgiveness.
Amen.
That's like, because he could stop us. He really could. You know, and then we'll have to be worried about forgiveness. But because he loves us so much, he lets us do what we think we need to do.
Yes,
and then he lets us be forgiven.
Amen.
That was love to me. So I'm like, okay, well, that was, okay. What kind of love is that? People are going to hurt us. And we're going to know that sometimes. Just like Jesus knows. People are going to betray us. They're going to call us names. They're going to disassociate themselves with us. They're going to act like they never knew us before. They're going to take things from us that they shouldn't have. They're going to steal from us, you know. They might physically hurt. They're going to do these things.
Amen.
Especially if we believe in Jesus. They're going to do the persecutions. Going to come. Yet, God calls us to love them.
Amen.
Because if we're going to be like him, if we're going to love like God, even as the Lord loves, we're going to have to forgive them in spite of what they do to us. Okay, I'm just about done. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that forgiveness is not something that mostly benefits the other person. Because we think that. Because we tend to hold on to it like it's some kind of gift or something. You know, like, you ain't getting my forgiveness. You're not worthy of this. But it's not for their benefit. It's for yours. It releases the blessing of the Lord in your life. So you really have, we really have to let it go. We really have to let things go. Begin to just move on. You know, things will hurt us. Like I said, I keep saying, things will hurt us. But if we're going to love as God loves, we need to let those things go so that we can move on.
Amen.
Amen. God doesn't want us holding on to things. And we have to forgive because it's a requirement. It's not an option. God has not given us the choice. Okay, you can forgive if you want to. No. God forgave. He expects us to forgive. It's not an option. He wants us to forgive. The word says in Matthew 6:14-15, but if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you.
Right.
It's that simple. It's just simple. If you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive.
Amen.
That's it. And that came from the mouth of Jesus. So it sounds like we don't have a choice in the matter. Even as the Lord forgives us, we are to forgive. And as the Lord loves, we are to love. Okay. And then I thought about something else. Maybe before I close. We all love, we even quote the scripture, God to prepare a table. God will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But God can't do that if we don't forgive them. So if we want God to prepare a table in their presence, we need to forgive them so that they can sit at the table with us.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. So this is something else to keep in mind. Just, you know, God expects us to forgive, and we need to forgive.
Amen.
Okay, so God gave us great examples in Hosea and Joseph and others in the Bible, and most of all in Jesus.
Amen.
What kind of love is this? It's a love that chooses to forgive, to overlook offenses, to take no account of wrong. That's what 1 Corinthians says. Love takes no account. It doesn't count how many times you did this to me. And it's funny because when my husband and I were first married, we used to get into arguments, and a lot of arguments. But he used to do certain things to me, and I used to tell him how many times he did it. You did this. You did this again.
Right.
You did this again. You did this again.
Right.
So one of the, it's funny because I don't even think he remembers, but at some point, after we got to know the Lord, he pointed out the scripture, love takes no account of wrong.
Amen.
So he sort of shut me up. I said, okay, I can't.
Right.
Because not only did I let him know what he did, I used to write it down. Because I'm a writer. I write down everything. So I used to write it. I used to tell him too, look, I wrote that down. I got this in my diary. So you know, so.
Amen.
Thank God for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so it's a love that overlooks offenses and does not take account of wrongs.
Amen.
A love that never fails. And so, how could we do it? Let's look at Hosea one more time. Hosea chapter 3. Chapter 3. Okay. We ought to love. The Lord said to me, that's verse 1. Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her even as the Lord loves the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop right there. Even as the Lord loves. So, next time we struggle with unforgiveness, even as the Lord loves.
Amen.
That's how we got to love.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes, He is.
It's wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us close. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name again. Oh God and Father, we just thank you, oh God, for your word. We thank you, God, for your goodness, oh God. And Father, we just look to you, God. And Father, we ask you, oh God, just to forgive us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness once again, oh God. And Father, help us to remember that you have forgiven us, oh God. And we ought to forgive others, oh God, even as you do, oh God.
Yes,
Father God, just help us just to walk, to continue to hold on to you, oh God, to hold on to your word, oh God, and bring this word to our remembrance, oh God, whenever anything comes up, oh God. And just help us, oh God, to forgive even the more, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, we bless you and we thank you, oh God, because we know that you are faithful to do it, oh God, and we just love you today, oh God. And Father, as we leave this place today, oh God, Father, just pray that you would just continue to be with us, continue to bless us, continue
yes,
to keep us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Continue to surround us with your goodness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And most of all, oh God, continue to keep your word before us, oh God, that we can go on, oh God, and have the victory in whatever comes our way, oh God. Father, we just bless you, and we thank you, oh God, for being able to do it, oh God. In Jesus' name.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of the sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I